The views, opinions, contents, or beliefs expressed on the Harrison Clark Expedition through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Clark Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, or beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Friends, we want to welcome you to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Kerry Clark, and of course, I have with me my co-host, Brother David Harris, and we want to welcome you to our program. This is the first program of 2010, and we want to pause and just thank all our listeners for listening to the program. We want to say how much we appreciate the phone calls that we received the last year, and we look forward to working together for another year. And by the way, we also want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show, and David and I are going through the Bible, and we're looking at the life of Christ. But the number to call if you have a question or comment is 254-445-2473. You may also email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. If you've been following along, we're looking at the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, that's the most perfect life that has ever been lived. And so as we look at the life of Christ, we're trying to the best of our abilities to set forth some of the characteristics that Jesus demonstrated while he was here on this earth. And obviously what we're trying to do is to help us to follow in his steps as we're directed by the Apostle Peter. I want to encourage you to open in your Bible to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, we're going to begin our reading in verse 1. We're going to read through verse number 5. But in our past shows, we've looked at Jesus. We saw, first of all, that he was a man of prayer, that he was a man of logic. We saw that he was impartial in dealing with human beings. We saw that Jesus was a man of power. Jesus is our dearest friend. He's a man of peace. And perhaps one of the most glorious statements in Mark chapter 7, Jesus was said to have done everything well. We also notice that Jesus was a man of proper values. He is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yet even though he is King and Lord, he is still a servant of all. We notice that Jesus was a man of principle, a man of firmness, a man of vigilance. He was a man of discernment. And if you were with us last week, we began by noticing that Jesus, sadly, could be hindered by human beings. Now, we want to point out, as we did last week, that we're not saying that we can hinder Jesus' power or God's power. Certainly, both Jesus and God, both of them being members of the Godhead, they are omnipotent. In other words, they have all power. And of course, Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 18 that all power or all authority had been given unto him in heaven and in earth. And so we're not saying that we can hinder the power of God, but friends, we can hinder the mission that God has given to us. And in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, the Bible tells us that Jesus, while he was here on this earth, came to seek and save the lost. Friends, we have that very same mission in our lives today. In other words, we're directed by Jesus in Mark 16 and verse 15 to go unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so we can hinder God's mission by not doing his will. God has something in store for all of us. And if we fail to do what God has told us to do, then we hinder his mission here on this earth. David, I'm going to turn it over to you, and you might want to read Mark chapter 15, 1 through 5, and maybe make some comments.
Okay, I'll be glad to, Kerry, and I thank you. In Mark chapter 15, I do hope you have your Bibles. If you do, please take those Bibles if you're in a place where you can. And read along with us. We want you to look at these scriptures because our motto has been from the very beginning of this show that you have heard what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. And so we're looking at Jesus being hindered by man. And in chapter 15 of Mark, we have an example of that. And here the Bible reads, "And straightway in the morning the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus, and they carried him away and delivered him unto Pilate. And Pilate asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, Thou sayest it. And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. And so here we see in verse 1 that Jesus was carried away. They bound his hands. They carried him away. And so they were hindering the cause of Jesus the Christ. Now, earlier in Matthew chapter 13, in verse number 53 through 58, we see that Jesus actually stopped performing miracles because of the unbelief of the people. They were not believing what they were seeing. They were not believing what they were hearing from Jesus. And so he just stopped performing the miracles. In chapter 13 and verse 58, it says, And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief or because of their lack of faith. And so immediately we see that because of our lack of faith, we can hinder Jesus Christ and his mission. And that covers lots of territory. It's not that we have, that Kerry has a faith and I have a faith. We have a common faith.
That's right.
That is given to us through the Word of God. And everyone should have the same kind of faith just because of what the Bible reveals to us. But because of our unbelief, which is a lack of faith, Jesus stopped doing miracles to those people in that day. They would not hear. And so it brings us to the question, Kerry, how do we hinder Jesus today?
Well, David, you know, you've answered that question in the very beginning by talking about unbelief. We can hinder God by rejecting his word. So that's one way that we can hinder Jesus Christ. And we actually talked about that last week on our radio program, but we want to move to a thought of how we hinder Christ today by being ignorant of his word and compromising on vital issues. And as David and I were looking at this and talking it over today, we actually had those two as two separate points, but we decided that we thought it'd be better to cover them together. And so we're going to be looking at ignorance of the Word of God, and we're going to be looking at compromise. Now, I want to say before we go any further that we had a wonderful call last week from a man by the name of Curtis. And Curtis, we hope that you're listening to the program today. We didn't agree with some of the things that Curtis said, but we disagreed, but we were still agreeable about it. And so we weren't trying to be pugnacious, but we were trying to demonstrate the Word of God. And David, we were talking about last week how that this doctrine of once saved, always saved is not taught in the Word of God. And we went through and looked at several scriptures that brought that out. And of course, Curtis called and he had a different idea, and we looked at it together, and we appreciate calls like that. But, friends, we want to remind you, if you have a question or comment, to give us a call at 254-445-2473, or you can send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com. David, I guess one of the things that we need to do when we start thinking about hindering the Word of God is turn to one of the Old Testament books, actually the book of Hosea. And we want to notice what is written in Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6. So friends, if you have, as David mentioned a moment ago, if you're in a place where it's safe for you to pick up your Bible, not driving down the highway or something, but if you can grab your Bible, open to Hosea chapter 4 and notice that the writer says in verse number 6, Hosea the writer writing for God says, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. David, several words jump out to me in that text in Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6. First of all, he says, my people. So he's talking about his children, is he not?
Absolutely.
It's got to be my people.
Absolutely.
And then he says they are destroyed. To be destroyed is brought to ruin. We are brought to ruin. And here's how. For lack of knowledge. David, we would say a lack of knowledge. And we're not saying this to be ugly, but that's ignorance, is it not?
Sure it is. And the word is used throughout the scriptures, ignorance. And it's not used as a curse word or a word to make someone feel or to a belittling word, but it is used as a word to describe the a person's concept of either knowledge or wisdom.
Okay.
Ignorance.
So he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They were ignorant of God.
Mm-hmm.
David, they were ignorant of how God created the universe.
Right.
We see that, sadly, being taught to our school children today in the form of evolution. We're talking about the general theory of evolution. The word evolution, as David and I have talked about on the radio program, the word evolution is not a bad word. It simply means change. But the general theory of evolution that teaches our children in America, first of all, that the earth is billions of years old, depending on who's the one that's doing the math on it, they'll say 4.5 billion to 6 billion years old. Kind of reminds me of a statement by Will Rogers. He said, liars or figures don't lie, but liars figure. So, you know, these guys mm-hmm. come up with all these dates, and they say that about several million years ago, that life began to evolve on this planet. It started out as a one-celled amoeba, and then gradually that one-celled amoeba evolved and changed, and it eventually evolved until what we see right now as human beings. That's what we're talking about, friends, when we're talking about the general theory of evolution. People are ignorant of how God created the universe. David, you and I have talked about this several times on the program. We're ignorant about a deal called global warming.
Right.
And Chris mentioned the forecast just a little bit ago, and I think he said the high for Thursday is going to be 25 with a low of 14. That sounds like global warming to me. How about you?
Right. It's hard to imagine anybody falling for it. As hard as the American public is falling for the idea that mankind that God gave dominion over this earth, gave us dominion. We're told that in Genesis chapter 1 that mankind actually believes that we can control the temperature of the earth. We can't even make it rain, and yet we're wanting to control the temperature of the earth.
So this idea about global warming is floating around. Men are ignorant about God creating the universe, how God did it. But David, those things, as frightening as they are, in my mind, pale in comparison to our ignorance of biblical morality.
Absolutely.
So why don't you talk to us a little bit about morality and biblical morality?
Okay. Before we get away from Hosea, I want us to go back to that passage that you were reading there just a moment ago, and I want you to notice the warning that is given by God. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. Seeing that you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children.
Hmm.
Now, morality is something that reaches from one generation to the next.
That's right.
And when our children are not taught the ways of God, when our children are not taught the morality of God, and when our children are not taught the Word, as a matter of fact, and you mentioned it just a moment ago, from the time we send them to school, our children are taught just the opposite of God. They want to get away from everything that God has set forth, and they want to castigate teachers for even mentioning the idea that there is a God or that there is a way that is right in order to live. But if you have your Bibles, I would like you to turn to the book of Ephesians, because here we see the beauty of God's children in their ugliness.
Yes.
And this is what God is seeing. We're reading God's word here, and this is what God is seeing. And for those individuals, Carrie, that think that you cannot know, the Bible continually tells us over and over and over that we can know.
Yes.
And beginning there in verse 5, he says, for this you know. You so, know this.
Sound like you can have knowledge.
You can have knowledge. And what did Hosea say? He said, we're destroyed for lack of it.
That's
and
right.
He says, this you can know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God? Let no man deceive you with vain words. Mm. Now, immediately, he's telling us here, the vain words are empty words. They're the opposite of knowledge. And he's telling us, mankind in this earth and on this earth are going to try to deceive us and try to make us believe that God's word just doesn't matter. But he says, you can know this.
That's right.
You can't go to heaven unless you have God's word. And be obedient to it.
David, that's exactly right. And when it comes to moral principles, friends, what we're talking about morals is the ability to know the difference between right and wrong. It is a system that has been delivered under. Friends, David and I don't set morality. Unlike some in Congress who think they have the right to pass laws, and say that, we're not going to get into that right now, but they make these ridiculous laws, and they act as if they're our creator, and they can tell us this and that. Friends, we need to understand morals emanate from God, because God is righteous. To be righteous is to do what's right, and God will always do what's right.
Absolutely.
David, God will never lead us astray. And so we're talking about the moral system that has been given to us by God. Friends, I want you to understand this. There can be no morality without God. If atheism is true, and it's not, but if atheism were true, David, then there would be no difference with me taking a gun and shooting you, or is me going out to the garden and pulling a tomato off a vine.
You're right.
There could be no way, as an atheist, that you can present a moral code, because you have none.
Exactly. Well, we find that God continually tells us about morality. He started back in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 when he said that we are created in his image.
That's right.
Well, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, we find that God is holy. So we are created in his spiritual image. And when we are created in that image, we are as beautiful a people as God would create. But it is through sin that image is absolutely and totally shattered. And when we sin, when we break that law of God, we have violated his righteousness, violated that purity. And when we do that, we cannot be the beautiful children of God.
Well, there's no way, because sin is ugly. David, I've tried to impress upon people's mind when I'm preaching. I really like to try to do it with young people. David, it seems like more and more even adults need to hear just how ugly sin is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we can describe sin in a sense where it is revolting like it must be to God. But David, I think about something that I've seen that makes me want to throw up. You know, you've seen something and it's so distasteful that your stomach, you almost actually vomit. That's the way God looks at sin.
Mm-hmm.
It makes him sick.
Well, we have convinced ourselves through these vain words that we just got through reading about, said, let no man deceive you with these vain words. We have been convinced, from our government to our school to the general public and the way that people look at things, that sin is not really what it is.
Yeah.
You're just thinking you're sinning, but don't worry about it. It's not really sin. And so we change the names of things. And we've talked about this before. We changed the killing of innocent children, the killing of babies in the womb. We've changed that to abortion. Or maybe even lesser than that, we change it to pro-choice.
Yes.
There's nothing choicey and about that baby being killed. field. He didn't have a choice.
That's right.
He got to take it from somebody else's choice. Yeah, now that was pro-choice, all right.
Yeah.
But it was kind of one-sided pro-choice there.
Yeah.
When we change terminology and when we desensitize people into believing that the sin is not really sin, and fornication is not really fornication. We have people that continually change the way that God has set things up. And as he says in Genesis chapter 1, we are created in his image. And now, after that image is created, that image of holiness, it has been shattered. Now, people want us to know that shattering our image of God is totally unimportant. As long as you got a good welfare check or a good Social Security check or a good job or whatever it happens to be, you take all of these methods that people have today of overcoming sin. It seems like money is the great equalizer.
Yeah.
You can sin as much as you want to if you got enough money.
Well, I think we talked about that a couple of weeks ago with the episode with Tiger Woods and some of these other guys. But friends, we're up against a break right now. We want to remind you again that this is a live call-in talk show. We would love to have your questions or comments, so give us a call at 254-445-2473. Send us an email at keqx@rocketmail.com, and we'll see you on the other side of our break.
Welcome back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, and I'm here with me is Kerry Clark. The call-in number is 254-445-2473. We'd like to hear from you. We are talking about Jesus Christ being hindered in his mission. And if you don't feel like you can call us and talk to us on the telephone, you can always email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. The telephone number again is 254-445-2473. Now, just a moment ago, we ended by talking about how Jesus Christ can be hindered through ignorance. And when we are ignorant of the Scriptures, we have absolutely nobody to blame but ourselves. We certainly can't blame God. He has preserved the Word for us. And I dare say that everybody in the United States of America has at least one Bible in their house. And I think the average for most people is somewhere around 10.
Mm-hmm.
And per household, and so it's certainly not God's word that has caused us to be ignorant. It is our lack of desire to hear this word. And Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, we are told, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. Seeing that you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." And Kerry, I think that's one of the most condemning statements in the book. When we forget to look at the knowledge of God, when we forget about the laws of God, we are actually condemning our children and a future generation because of our lack of ability or our lack of desire to teach our children what God's Word has to say and how He looks at things. Now, when you began just a moment ago, Kerry, you mentioned the fact that we are combining compromise and ignorance today. As we look at Mark chapter 15 and Jesus being hindered, and the compromise that we have throughout religion today, a lot of men look at this as this is the way to be. I'll compromise this issue and you compromise that issue and let's just all get along. That's not the way God looks at things. And I want you to read with me, if you've got your Bibles, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 6. And I want to back up in verse 2, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2, because here Jesus is talking to the church at Ephesus. This is a church that was established. We just got through reading the letter to the Ephesians just a moment ago. This is the very same congregation there. And he says, "I know your works, I know your labor, I know your patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and you have tried them which say they are apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be liars. And you have borne, and you have had patience, and for my name's sake you have labored, and you have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love." And so now he's going to correct this problem. He says, "Remember, therefore, from whence you are fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly, and I will remove your candlestick out of its place, except you repent. And then he says in verse 6, but this you have. Now, I'm going to give you, is what he's saying, I'm going to give you another point of credit toward your faithfulness. This you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And so there is no compromise here with this church at Ephesus. Jesus hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans, and so does this church. And that goes right back to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9, which talks about Jesus as you have loved righteousness, you have hated iniquity. And so they, just as we must love the things that Jesus loves. We must hate the things that Jesus hates. And that's exactly the point that he's making here. But when he gets over into verse number 12, he is talking here to a different congregation. He is talking there to the church in Pergamos. And the church in Pergamos in verse 16, or in verse 15, well, let's back up in verse 14. Jesus says, I have a few things against you, this church in Pergamos, because you have there them that hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So have you also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. And then he says, repent, or else I will come unto you quickly, and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. So have you also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Now, here we have a compromise.
That's exactly it.
And Jesus Christ is telling us that he hates compromise because he hates this doctrine of the Nicolaitans because it does not follow along with the doctrine of Christ.
That's right.
And he hates it. And he hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans, and he has this against this congregation in Pergamos because they are not hating the doctrine as Jesus hates the doctrine. And so we see here very clearly that Jesus Christ hates compromise. Now, the phenomenal thing about this, Pergamos may have just been ignorant about the whole situation, but it doesn't make any difference. Because it's not God's fault that we don't know what his law is and what his doctrine is. And if we love the doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we cannot hold to another doctrine.
Well, David, you're exactly right. And we want to remind you again of the call-in number, 254-445-2473, or email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. But I want to pick up on something, David, that you read a moment ago. And it goes back to this thought that we addressed last week on once saved, always saved. But notice that Jesus, in writing to these churches, tells them, I know what you're doing. I appreciate what you're doing. But in verse 4 of Revelation 2, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. And then he tells them in verse 5, remember from where you are fallen. David, you cannot fall from somewhere you've never been.
Absolutely.
I can't fall off the roof of this radio station if I've never been on that roof.
That's absolutely right.
So here, and friends, I bring that up because to me those things jump off the page. The doctrine of once saved, always saved is very false. And we see that with these churches. Jesus said, I'm going to come remove your candlestick. Now, if Jesus removes your candlestick, are you saved or are you lost?
You're lost.
You're lost. You can't be anything else. And these are written, friends, to churches. And he's telling these churches, these congregations of his people, you better repent, buddy, or I'm going to come and remove your candlestick. He tells the church at Pergamos, I'm going to come and fight against them that hold these doctrines. So, David, it's very clear from the Word of God that when we begin to compromise with false teaching, that God said, well, let's turn to 2 John.
Mm-hmm.
Friends, if you have your Bible, turn to the book of 2 John, just a little bit before where we are in the New Testament. And the Bible tells us in 2 John verse number 9, because there's only one chapter, listen to what it says. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God, He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. David, that tells me, if I understand what John has written, that if a false teacher comes bringing another doctrine, like the doctrine of the Nicolaitans,
right,
and it's not the doctrine of Christ, and I bid them Godspeed, I don't say that I believe their doctrine. I just say, you know, keep on preaching, brother, because I like what you're doing. I have bid that person Godspeed, and God said, you are as guilty as the person that taught this doctrine. That's compromise, isn't
it? That is absolute and total compromise, and that's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. That is the devastation of ignorance and compromise.
Yeah.
And we are going to be destroyed either way. And I think it's very significant that we look back there, and on each and every account where these individuals had been either compromising or they were ignorant and not doing the doctrine, not doing the deeds of the doctrine, then they had to repent.
There is no sense
in needing to repent of anything if you have not done anything wrong.
That's right.
And so here we see again one more instance of falling from grace. And this once saved, always saved is a very, very dangerous doctrine, because it gives people a false sense of security. Now friends, we need to remind you, it's 254-445-2473. Or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. We would appreciate your comments. We would appreciate if you object to what we have to teach here through the Bible, we would like to hear from that also. Now, when you put ignorance and compromise together, you've got a pretty dangerous deal here. Now, we remember that in Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It is not God's fault. And somebody says, well, now, you're reading from the Old Testament. Sure, we are, but that principle goes all the way through the New Testament as well. People are destroyed continually for lack of knowledge. And I do believe we read in Ephesians chapter 5 just a moment ago, don't be deceived and you can know.
That's exactly right. You know, David, talking about a sin that's done in ignorance, the Bible tells us in Leviticus chapter 4, God spake to Moses in verse number 1, and he said, speak unto the children of Israel, if a soul sin through ignorance. Now notice the language, he sinned through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done and shall do against any of them. He goes on to explain that when he finds out, in verse 3, he is to offer a sin offering.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 13 of Leviticus 4, if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance. Verse 14, it says, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin. David, over and over again, the Bible tells us that when we sin, even if it's done in ignorance, it's still considered a sin in the eyes of God. When you find out about it, he said, you better offer a sin offering. David, that's one of the reasons that when I lay my head down at night, I always pray to God. And I usually include in that prayer, if I have sinned against you and I don't realize it, please forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to stand before my God. Sin is a transgression of His law. I do not want to stand before my God on the day of judgment and have sin in my life.
Right. Well, how many religious people have gone through their lives assuming
mm-hmm.
that they are doing the will of God, and out of purity, ignorance, or perhaps out of compromise, which they have been taught, which will put us right back through ignorance again.
Yeah.
Out of compromise or ignorance, they are not doing the will of God, but in their heart of hearts, they believe that they are doing the will of God. Friends, it's not God's fault if we do not know His law. It is not his fault.
David, what more could God do? He loved us enough to create us. He loved us enough to send his son to die for us.
Mm-hmm.
He loved us enough to give us an instruction manual on how to walk in this world. He's given us all these things, and all he says to us is, you be obedient to the instruction manual that I've given you, and you can go to heaven. Now, David, like you said, we will not be able to stand before God and say, but God, I didn't know.
No, we will not.
There's just no way that you can study the New Testament and walk away with that fact. I am not excused because of ignorance. As a matter of fact, he said God's people were destroyed for that very fact in Hosea 4 and verse 6. Friends, give us a call at 254-445-2473. We want to include you in our discussion. We haven't had a caller yet. We had a great discussion last week. So if you're out there listening and you want to add something to this, if you've got a verse of Scripture that you think would be something that would benefit the listeners of the program, give us a call at 254-445-2473. And let's use these opportunities like we have together on the radio today to stamp out ignorance of the Word of God.
Amen.
And not only stamp out ignorance, friends, we need to stamp out this political correctness that says that we ought to compromise. David, it's being pushed at us from our government that all religions are equal, which, by the way, they don't believe. But they tell us, well, you know, all religions are equal, and you do whatever you want, and it doesn't matter, friends. That is not what the Bible says.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, give us a call. It's just about time for a break. And our number is 254-445-2473. And we will see you on the other side of the break.
Friends, we want to welcome you back to the Harrison Clark Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Kerry Clark. And, of course, I have with me my cohort, I guess you might say, my co-host, David Harris. And we're looking at the life of Christ. And we're looking at the fact that we as individuals can hinder Jesus, not that we can take away any of his power, but that we can hinder the mission that God has for our lives. The phone number to call is 254-445-2473. And we had a call during the break from a lady by the name of Deborah. And we were talking about how that we, through ignorance, We hinder the cause of Christ, and she pointed out that ignorance has never been an excuse when it comes to the legal system in America. If you're driving 45 and a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit and the policeman pulls you over and you say, but officer, I didn't realize that the speed limit was 30. I thought it was 45. I was ignorant of the speed. He just pats you on the back and say, oh, well, okay, everything's fine. Right, David?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that's not what happens. He says ignorance is no excuse of the law. Now, Deborah works in the school system, and she said that every year at the first of the year, they send out a handbook. The students are required to read the handbook and sign it. Their parents are required to read the handbook and sign it and then bring it back to the school. And yet Deborah said many times when a child does something, they'll say, well, I didn't know that was in the handbook. And the school says, ignorance is no excuse of the law. You cannot run and hide behind ignorance, friends. And we appreciate Deborah calling. And we want to talk about this aspect of ignorance. By the way, the number again is 254-445-2473. Why don't you just put that on your speed dial so you'll have it handy, 254-445-2473. But, David, there is something that is running rampant in America today, and that is a moral sin, the sin of homosexuality.
Absolutely.
And people want to argue that they're ignorant of the fact that that is an abomination in the eyes of God. David, I don't think that's going to stand on the day of judgment.
Absolutely will not.
It cannot.
It cannot. It's absolutely phenomenal to me how much this agenda has been pushed, and right now is being pushed at our own children, even through our school system, with our political appointee, our safe school czar, which is also a professed homosexual who is trying to push the homosexual agenda even through our school system. And what we have here, again, we have ignorance of God's law, and we have people making compromises on what they once believed because it just keeps coming day after day after day after day. I think it's interesting that you mentioned the school teacher calling us just a moment ago, because in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, Moses read the law to all the children of Israel, and then he told them what to do with it. And I want you to bear with me here for just a moment. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, and you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them upon the post of your house and upon your gates." Now, if we teach our children today the way that they taught their children back then, this is one of the things that they were teaching them. This is part of the law of Moses, and it's brought forward into the New Testament. We can read it again over there. But in Leviticus chapter 18, very specifically, it says, "You shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Neither shall you lie with any beast to defile yourself wherewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto. It is confusion. Devile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all of these nations they are defiled, which I cast out before you." Now, friends, that was in the law. That was what was read to those children every single day. And when they sat down, and when they got up, and when they ate, and when they walked out the front door, it was on the post of the front door. That they never got away from it. It was because God's word was implanted in their mind, and they knew the mind of God. And that's one thing that we have today is ignorance. We don't know.
You know, David, I was thinking about another aspect that seems to be rampant in America, and that is ignorance of God's law on marriage, divorce, and remarriage.
Amen.
You know, friends, there are a lot of people in this world that are ignorant of God's law on marriage, and they divorce because, David, the one that I've heard so many times when I've counseled with people, well, we've just fallen out of love with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus gave us God's law on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, friends. And I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. You remember that the context begins in verse number 3, where the Pharisees had come to Jesus, and they were tempting him. And they ask him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause or for any reason?" And Jesus told them, "Have you not read?" Now, David, notice that Jesus is telling them, "You know this. You mm-hmm. have read what God said." Now, notice what God said, that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain or two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Well, they thought they had Jesus trapped, because in verse 7 they said, "Well, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away?" And then Jesus, listen to this, "Not because of their ignorance," he says, "but Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, allowed you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery as well." So David, very clearly, These people tried to pull the ignorance card.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is it lawful to put away your wife forever? Jesus said, well, haven't you read? Friends, we need to be reading and studying our Bibles as David pointed out. Now, look at this, friends. We're starting out on a fresh new year. I guess today's the fourth. Right. We're about 4 days into this new year. Friends, we all ought to make a new year's resolution that I'm going to read my Bible every day.
Right.
You know, we often talk about New Year's resolutions. Well, friends, let's make some spiritual New Year's resolutions. Let's resolve that I will read my Bible every day. David, if I understand correctly, that with just a little bit of effort, you can read through the entire Bible in about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, friends, we could actually, by the end of the year, read through our Bibles 3 or 4 times.
Right.
But it takes resolve. I resolve to read my Bible every day. Paul told us in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. David, it just floors me, as you pointed out a moment ago, that in the average house in America, there are numerous Bibles. David, we even have access on things on the internet that are aids to studying the Word of God. You can download information and it's free, and it will tell you what the Hebrew word was and what it meant, what the Greek word, the original languages of the Bible, what these words meant in their original context. David, we have more access to valuable information about the Bible, and yet we are more ignorant of the Bible than people were 100 years ago or 50 years ago.
Absolutely. I'd like to make a quick point as to the passage that you read just a moment ago, that passage on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We're talking about hindering the cause and the mission of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Which is lost. When a person is lost, he can't go to heaven. When a person is lost, he dies and he goes to hell. If a person compromises the Word of God, he cannot go to heaven. Now, this marriage, divorce, and remarriage, what makes it so strikingly important that we understand it is today there are many, many people that have compromised the doctrine of Christ on this one issue because the religious organization to which they belong, they won't say it's wrong.
That's right.
They won't say it's wrong. But I can tell you that it's wrong because Jesus said it was wrong. And all along we have said, all we want to do is point out what the Bible has to say about it and not what man has to say about it. Now, what you mentioned just a moment ago, it tells us that in a certain situation, a person can commit adultery.
Yes.
This marriage, divorce, and remarriage, there's only one way that a person can remarry, and if it's for the cause of fornication. He can divorce, and then the innocent party remarry. Now, friends, if you are guilty of violating that law, then you are living in adultery.
Yes.
Now, Jesus also tells us through the Holy Spirit here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, he says, know ye not. Again, he's appealing to our knowledge.
Yes.
That knowledge that we are supposed to have, not ignorance, but the knowledge of God's Word. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And he tells us again, just the way he told us in Ephesians just a moment ago, be not deceived. Don't let any man fool you with vain words. He says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, those would be your homosexuals, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you talk about hindering the Word of God when a religious organization says homosexuality is okay, drunkenness is okay, adultery is okay, sexual relationship outside of marriage is okay, and God is going to accept you any old way you are. You are being taught and you are being spoon-fed a doctrine that cannot be found in the Bible. And friends, don't be fooled. As Christ said, as Paul said through the Holy Spirit, be not deceived. You can't go to heaven like that. Now, friends, if you find yourselves in one of these situations, you need to get with one of us. Get with
That's
me.
Right.
Get with Carrie. Let's talk this situation over. Let's see what the Bible has to say about the salvation of your soul in the condition that you're in.
Friends, if you would like to study with either David or me, you can call the radio station here, and they can put you in contact with us. The Park Heights Church of Christ, our phone number, if you would like to give us a call, is 254-386-3953. And if I'm not there or the secretary's not there, just leave a message on the recorder. That's 254-386-3953. We'd love to set up a home Bible study with you. Especially if you're right there in the Hamilton area, you give us a call there at the church building, and we'll set up a time. I'm in a Bible study right now with a couple there in Hamilton going through and just looking at the Word of God together. So friends, give us a call at 254-386-3953 at the Park Heights Church of Christ. David, you might want to give the number for Stephenville
as well. Absolutely. And I would dearly love to sit down and visit with anybody that wants to visit with me about the Bible. And it's 254-968-8167. If you're in the Stephenville area, we would love to sit down and just show you what the Bible has to say. Now, as we have adopted as our motto, you have heard what men have had to say. And all we want to show you is what the Bible has to say.
Right.
That's all. Now, we know by having read what we read that there is an awful lot of false information out there. And whether you compromise the Word of God because of false information, or you're just absolutely ignorant of the Scriptures, it does not matter.
That's right.
You are still in violation of the laws of God. And your soul is in danger of eternal hellfire, and you don't want that. God doesn't want that. God wants everybody to repent and come to a knowledge of the truth. But you've got to come to a knowledge of the truth. And the truth is in the book.
Well, David, that's right. And as we've said, friends, we're here not to condemn, but to try to help people get out of situations. You remember in Acts chapter 8 that there was a man from Ethiopia, a eunuch, and he's traveling on this old road. He had been to Jerusalem to worship. He's on his way back from Ethiopia. God sends Philip, an evangelist, a preacher, to this man. And this man is reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" This is Acts chapter 8 and verse 30. "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. David and I are evangelists. We're preachers. Friends, we want to help you come to a greater knowledge of the Word of God. We'll do it through home Bible studies, correspondence courses. You get in touch with us, friends. We're here to help. We really are. David, I'm going to let you have the last words. I think we're just about out of time this evening. Got maybe a minute left.
Got a minute. Well, I just want to thank everyone for listening, and I do want to make one more plea for anyone out there who would like to have some Bible help. We are available. And
yes.
we're not untouchable. We can be found. We can be found real easily. Come by the church building. Give me a call. Continue to listen to this program. Continue to read your Bibles. And the very best thing that you can do for yourself is become very familiar with God's Word. We have God's mind revealed to us, and all we have to do is open up this book and know how it is that we can please God, know how it is that He wants us to be, and form our lives around that, and you will find the most beautiful life that God has set
Amen.
Out for any of mankind. It is the Christian life. And at this time, we want to sign off, and I want to wish everyone a happy new year, and God bless you for listening to the program.
Amen.